Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. After saving Cinder Shore from Veracity's deadly plot, Agents Velm and Felspar got a chance to interrogate the devious pop star Diamond under the effects of truth magic. Diamond explained that they are working with Bridge, revealed to be a sinister cult that worships a sentient deck of cards called Providence and Pandemonium, which dwells beneath Clovenheart. After the interrogation, the duo was arrested by Governor Thorne, who shut down suits in order to investigate the organization for either lax conduct or corruption regarding Velm and Felspar's investigation in Clovenheart. The mission was not run through any official channels, and it appears that the agents were set up to unknown ends. Thorne has placed the agents and their companions in jail until she can figure out what to do with them, or until they can figure out what to do with themselves. So, essay.
Jordan.
It's a flashback. Kay. When do you want it to be set? We didn't really discuss any of this, so we're just going to do this live.
I think, so here's what I am envisioning, is Jack and Velm were starting to spin up suits when Spar was like late teen, so this would be like a couple of years post-untethering, like 1 to 2 years post-untethering, they'd start, like, putting out feelers to be, this is maybe something we want to do.
Yeah.
My vision for Spar has been that, like, he was basically, softly recruited by, not necessarily personally Jack and Velm, but, like, by the people who were out there, like, hey, you have ties to adventuring, like, you seem like somebody who would be capable of doing the kind of, like, cleanup and rebuilding work that we need. And so
that's interesting. How did they know where to find him?
Well, because his parents were like active and well known in the war.
That's fair. That's true. Okay.
And so, and like Spar isn't hidden in Clovenheart. It's like he lived there, but it wasn't like no one.
That's true.
Know he's
that's
there.
True. He probably went to Cinder Shore and stuff.
Yeah, and like I imagine that there were events that were, like, for our fallen heroes and, like, the families of our fallen heroes.
Yeah, that makes sense. For sure. Okay.
My thought is that, like, from there would be, like, the equivalent of the FBI training academy in place of college, where it's, like...
I had thoughts about this, but go ahead.
We've talked a little bit about agent school, but it's, like, it would take the place of college.
Oh, yeah, how you feel about this? Because I don't think that, like... Yeah, I don't think that... I don't know if a Suits would have, like, its own designated academy... I was wondering if maybe it's like a curriculum and that there is some amount of real college involved and then also like some co-training with like the police, but then like also its own classes. Does that make any sense? Like just in terms of police stuff, just like the physical training regimen, just because like those resources they could borrow.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I think probably, like, with how big we've talked about Suits being, I think probably eventually it is its own.
I think so, training. But I'm talking about, like, early Suits, yeah.
Yeah, early, I could see it being, like, the equivalent of when you have, like, a community college, but also there's, like, advanced math courses, so they send you to, like, the local, the slightly bigger college for those one or two things.
Yeah, so I imagine, like, maybe you had to take, like a magical studies class in, like, a real college or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So where does Spar live during this time, if that's relevant? Like, is there a dorm, or do you live in an apartment? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, I think there's definitely... Oh, so here's a question, Jordan, for, like, the first year of Suits, or the first couple of years of Suits, like, how big is it? How many people are there? What's the first graduating class of recruits? How big is that?
Probably really small. Like, I don't imagine Suits is, like, a massive, massive agency even today. It's big, but it's not, like, huge. So, first graduating class, like, maybe, like, 15 to 20?
I think Spar's probably in like a regular dorm in like a dorm attached to whatever college Suits is borrowing classes from.
All right. So I don't think I quite realized that Spar was in Suits from day one.
I think it's accurate? He probably isn't working there from day one. I think like they're opening while he's still in training.
That's fair, but maybe day two.
But yeah, basically, yeah. And
okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's definitely part of the first class of handpicked trainees. Okay. But I think it's very possible that they just like opened their doors with people who they were like, yes, okay, you're not a literal child. Like you can just start working.
Like
today.
Jack probably knew people that like he felt could do it.
Yeah, so I think Suits is maybe operating 3 to 5-ish years before he like signs on as an agent.
Got it. Okay, cool. Where what are we doing when this scene starts? And who am I playing?
As I was like sort of hazily thinking about this, it felt like a dining hall scene. Like, ooh. I don't know if either of you lived on campus for college times.
Mm-mm. I did.
But I basically did, but I didn't.
So, yeah. So he's doing the thing where he's like, it's probably dinner and he's just like, chilling and like talking with folks and like might be tucked in a corner with like one, maybe two other people. Mm-hmm. It's like not a special day, just a like it is social hour, basically. It is not time to like study, not time to sleep, not time to work out. And like the dining hall's probably like 3/4 empty. Like most people have trickled out to like go do evening things. So it's not like private, but it's also not like right in the middle of everybody's business.
Sure. Who am I? Cast me.
How invasive are your questions going to be?
Medium invasive.
Okay. Then let's, I would say a friend, maybe somebody who's not training for Suits, but it has some overlapping classes.
Okay.
Who like they're like, you know, play beer pong together friends, but not like friend, like bestie friends. I'm kind of feeling Spar like not as a freshman but as a sophomore equivalent, so like it's not his first year but he is still comparatively youngish.
Okay,
so his breakup with Anya would have been about a year ago.
Yeah. Okay, that's all helpful information. Okay, so I'm gonna say this person is a human dude, and his name is Brentley. Maybe like another friend has like gone up to use the restroom. Like maybe there's three of you and someone left to use the restroom when this kind of is starting.
Two of hearts, got it.
So he's like, Brentley's like eating a sandwich. I'm gonna say Brentley's like kind of a nerd. And so maybe it's like not study time, but like he has a textbook with him just in case he feels like studying.
Yeah. And they probably just came from class like not too long ago. Okay, so like Spar's got a bag over the back of his chair. It's like dinner post classes.
And you can tell like, well, actually, no, let's play Three of Hearts. Let's play Space Kings. Can you flip me a wit empathy?
So question, should I use today's bar stats?
That's fine. I don't.
Okay.
Unless you want to debuff yourself, I don't really care about being too technical.
For the sake of simplicity, we'll just use today's stats. So wit is 4, empathy is 4. So that's 8, healthy plus is 9. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. King, Jack, Joker. 3 successes and a Joker.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So Spar thinks that Brentley wants to ask something, but he thinks that Brentley's going to, like, ask him out or ask...
That is exactly what I was going to say, so it has to be true.
Yeah, okay. So I think Spar is, like, eating a very, like, 1950s, almost, like, TV dinner, like, portioned out meal.
Oh, I love that.
With a glass of milk. And he, like... looks up at Brentley like through like up from under his lashes a little bit like so
Okay. Brent, let me look to see how if Brentley picks up on you picking up on him. Two successes, and one of those is actually a queen of hearts, so I'm gonna go with yes. And he says, okay, fine. I have a question.
Spar, like, leans back in his chair, like, very confident, like...
Okay, I was in political science the other day, and we were talking about some things, and things are actually a little bit heated. But the point is, a name kept coming up, and, like, I have to ask you, like, two questions. One.
Spar's no longer feeling confident, but he does not stop Brentley.
And he says, one, are you related to, like... And they kind of, like, gesture out the window because, like, not far off campus, there's, like, statues of your parents.
Mm-hmm.
The Felspars who, like, helped recapture Bossa Natura.
Yeah. They're my... That's my parents.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
I guess.
So that means you also are related to Luna Vella Felspar?
Spar says, yeah. She's my aunt. She's also awesome.
Oh, that's good. And, like, he takes, like, a really pointed bite of his sandwich, like he doesn't know what to say.
Spar raises his eyebrows and leans in a little bit and is like, yeah, it is good.
And then, like, Brentley finishes chewing and is like, oh, do you know that she was, like, friends with Morpholomew?
I'm thinking about what 19, 20-year-old Spar is going to do here.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Spar, there's a peak where he's like trying to, like, be cool and fit in. And then, like, in his mid-20s, he's like, just punches all the time.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, when we meet him in his 30s in Three of Hearts, he's, like, on the downslope of punching things all the time.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think he is like, yeah, turns out lots of people were before he was, you know, a fascist warlord dickhead.
Okay, yeah, but I just heard that they were like, she was really close with him, like his apprentice.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Lots of people were close to lots of people who ended up being, you know, terrorists and stuff.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. But she's cool.
Like, no one in your family has ever, like, I don't know, fucked up?
No, of course. People have, like, fucked up. Like, you know, my uncle, you know, dated this guy who, like, ended up holding someone hostage at a bank. It's just not the same, I guess.
It is. I mean, it basically is the same, right? Like, people don't start out just, like, showing up the day they're born, like, aha, fuck me, I'm, like, gonna take over the world and, like, murder people, right? Like, if they did, shit would be easier because you'd just be like, pow.
Yeah.
And they're a baby, you know?
Sure, but, like, you know, he was getting really, like, aggressive about, like, altered stuff and you know, I just heard that, like, Luna Vella was, like, on his side for a lot of that.
Okay, well, I mean, she, like, fought in the war effort against him.
No, that she makes sense. Her
sibling in the war against him, like, their house was one of the major sites of coordinating resistance against him. I don't know what the fuck you're trying to say here.
And he says, I guess just, like, I'm just making sure, like, you're cool, I guess.
Spar's eyebrows go all the way up because, like, he didn't realize this was about him. He thought this was just, like, poking questions about Lunavella.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's just, like, I don't know. Like, if you're just, like, if you're, like, close with someone like that, I mean, it's not that she was good. He, like, aggressively takes a bite again of his sandwich.
Spar's just staring him down.
Okay, I'm just curious because, like, okay, your aunt is, like, a famous altered biomancer, right? And I heard that your ex was altered. Are you altered?
Does it fucking matter if I am or not? That's a yes. That's a yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
I see. He stands up.
Wait, Spar, it doesn't, like, matter. It's just interesting. Like, I didn't know.
Because it's none of your fucking business. Why would you know?
I don't know. Well, you can, like, tell. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can always tell who those manipulative, dangerous, shitty, altered people are.
No, they're not. That's true. But, like,
he grabs his bag off the back of his chair.
And, like, he's just like trying to salvage things still, and he's just like, isn't it scary that, like, people can, like, mess with your head? I mean, I know maybe there's not magic in it, but. And he just, like, doesn't say anything.
Isn't it scary that people can mess with your head? In a non-magical way, but still manipulate your thoughts towards others?
Says a random student who's walking by.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Eli, if you want to play somebody, like, this is legit. This is happening in a public space. Like, you can legit be somebody who would jump in.
So some random student says that, having overheard some of the previous conversation. I don't know anything about this character, but they say something and, I don't know, kind of make a gesture at Spar with, like, maybe, like, jerks his head to the side, like, hey, let's get out of here. This asshole's not worth it.
Does Brentley have any reaction to being told, like, is...
Deep shame. And he's just like, I'm sorry, Spar.
Yeah, whatever. And Spar goes with his new buddy.
we have to name and define this friend right now.
Oh, no.
It doesn't have to be Ela, just someone. One of us has to.
No, I was going to say, like, what if they're also not visibly altered, so maybe they've encountered this kind of thing before?
Yeah, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think that might be a little bit more relatable to Spar than if it was someone who was visibly altered.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And let me search for a name real quick, because I do love names.
Okay.
I'll go to my favorite name website, 20,000 Names.
Can they be a halfling? I just love halflings.
Halfling's good.
Great.
What if they're a half-elf halfling?
Ooh. Oh my god.
I did have a character once that was half-elf, half-dwarf. And their features were, like, stout but lanky.
A halfling.
Here's a name. Delaney. That's a cute name.
Oh, that's a good name. All right, Delaney the Halfling.
Yep. It is a unisex name.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. And Spar and Delaney head off and have a better night without Brentley around.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the flashback will end. All right, we resume in present day. Vellum, after Governor Thorne has just given you a long-winded story about their time in our Quiet Year campaign, and she's having you escorted by a member of the Bramble Guard to a separate cell from Spar. And as a reminder, the Bramble Guard are pretty scary. They're very they wear like suits of armor, like kind of knight armory, and there's no, you can't see their face, and there's some rose imagery on them. Yep, so this person's walking you down a hall. The constabulary has basically two cell blocks and one like super intense holding cell in between them, which you are not taken to.
Okay.
And like that one, there's no bars. It's just like, it basically like a steel box with like a bank vault-esque door on the front.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're taken to one of the cell blocks. You don't see Spar around, who was taken out shortly before you. You do see in the cell you are taken to, Anya, who is also Carnation.
Okay.
Yep, who are just hanging out in a cell. There are also, you know, miscellaneous people you don't know in other cells nearby. The cell you are taken to just has Anya and two beds and a curtained off bathroom.
Cool.
The member of the Bramble Guard just says, and there's like some kind of weird like voice modulation tech in their helmet. And they just say like, "You will be released when the governor decides what to do with you." And then turns to Anya and says, "Miss Whittleby, you will be released when the governor deems that you are safe from Chrysalis threats." And Anya just says, "Thank you so much," like very dryly. And the member of the Bramble Guard walks to like the end of the cell block, but is just like standing there, unmoving.
Cool and good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vellum will approach Anya and Carnation and say, how are you feeling? Are you okay? Are you injured?
And then she's kind of like a little surprised and goes, "Oh, Vellum. No, I'm not injured. The governor is ostensibly holding me for my protection. Although she is concerned in my involvement with what she is calling reckless vigilantism. So I assume that you are not here under the same purported courtesy."
"Yes, I believe I am under arrest for such suspected vigilantism."
"Yeah."
Vellum's voice on that sounds just a little bit like it's a new exciting twist on how he's been held hostage like 15 times. "Well, I believe I'm under arrest. Like, ooh, this is a new way to experience loss of autonomy."
Uh-huh. Yeah, a new exciting flavor of kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
Anya says, "Well, I, for one, am grateful for your reckless vigilantism. You know, that it resulted in me not being held hostage by a vampire who hates me."
Yes. You know, I realize that a lot of things could have gone wrong, and perhaps we should have gone about things differently. But overall, I think we did a fairly good job with what we had in the short amount of time that we had.
It almost couldn't have gone better, frankly. And Governor Thorne punishing you for what ifs that didn't come to be is pretty absurd.
But not the first time that that's happened.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have gone head to head with, not her directly, but representatives of her in court for, you know, misconduct in the past. She's not exactly a measured, considerate human being.
You know, I'm honestly kind of surprised it took her this long to arrest me.
Question. Is Belladonna's her name?
Yeah.
Bella. I'm just fucking calling her Belladonna. No fucking titles anymore. Okay. Because you did this to me. Is Belladonna actually human? Or is she, what race is she?
She's human.
Okay. Just checking. Mm-hmm.
Yep. She's like a middle-aged human. Yeah, so she was pretty young when she did, when she fought in the war. And kind of came in at, like, kind of the end of things in terms of the war also.
So, Miss Whittlesby.
Mm-hmm. You can call me Anya.
What do you think our chances are of breaking out of here?
Well, I don't know. I've never personally broken out of prison.
Nor have I.
And don't think I'd be much help in the effort, frankly. But given what I've heard and seen you and Spar do.
Seen?
Given what I've heard and experienced you and Spar do, I don't expect you would have any trouble at all, frankly. by the way, I have to assume that what you guys are saying is quietly.
You know, I imagine it is somewhat quiet, but at the same time, I think Vellum's just kind of in a playful fuck it kind of mood.
Like, in that case, I'm going to flip like some perception for this Bramble Guard member down the hall.
Like he's half joking, but...
Haha, okay. Just kidding. Unless.
Unless.
The member of the Bramble Guard is definitely like, has turned their head in your direction.
Because, you know, it seemed to be that she separated Spar and I because she was afraid that we were going to do something. So yes. It's, you know, when someone tells you you can't do something and how that makes you want to do it even more, that's kind of the feeling I'm in right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Not to change the subject, but also extremely to change the subject from your imminent prison break. Is it true that you've two killed Veracity?
Well... I have never fought a vampire before, so I'm not entirely familiar with the procedures, but it did seem like we injured them pretty severely. They seemed to turn into dust, which I hope is permanent, but
that seems pretty bad to me.
I would not be surprised if they managed to have another ace up their sleeve somewhere.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. Because that would be that would be a success. Anyway, no. So Anya says, I hope that's not the case. And either way, that's amazing. And, you know, I'm not one to generally advocate for death, but I do think that the world is a lot safer without them in it.
You know, I had not met them before a few days ago, and I agree wholeheartedly.
She, she like does like a half-hearted laugh and says, "Josepha worked very closely with Veracity when they were involuntarily serving Morpholomew, and." Spoke of Veracity as if they were the most violent, terrifying force in the world. The kind of person who hurts people for fun.
They certainly gave off that impression, yes.
So, the fewer people like that, the better. I mean, I wish that they had been reformable, but given their unyielding reverence for Morpholomew this far out from his death, I don't think that they were going to change their mind anytime soon.
And, I mean, I feel like they had the opportunity to escape or not to continue with their plan, but they chose to continue with it and to threaten the entire city of Cindershore.
Yeah, of course. You don't accidentally acquire a legendarily powerful artifact and use it to freeze in the populace of a town.
Right. While I would have hoped it would be able to reform them or to resolve this peacefully, I'm not sure that that would have been possible in our current circumstances.
Yeah. She kind of crosses her arm and says, you know, they didn't give you the chance, so. It was them or you, I assume, and the loss of other innocent lives. I mean, I don't think killing people is ever ideal, but I also don't think that you should necessarily lose too much sleep over this. Mm. And around this time, another member of the Bramble Guard rounds the corner and is approaching the cell, accompanied by someone Phelan would recognize. Her name is Betty, and she is a tan-skinned elven woman who is a frequent assistant to Gray in terms of like sciencey stuff.
Okay.
And she's come sharply dressed and is wearing like a, it almost looks lab coaty, but it's like a dark green color. Mm. She is approaching with the member of the guard and says, Cowlin, how are you doing? Other than, and she kind of gestures to the cell.
Doing quite all right. Better than yesterday.
Are you injured?
I'm fine.
Good.
Is Gray okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She actually sent me here. Velen, can you flip Can you flip intelligence investigation? Actually, I think this would be more wit investigation.
Okay. Wit investigation. Wit is 3. Investigation is 2. 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. All right, what we got? Goody, we got a king and a joker.
Let me think about that. Okay, first of all, I want to retcon something really quick. When they came in, this member of the Bramble Guard would have dismissed the other one. They leave the cell block.
Question about the Bramble Guards?
Uh-huh.
Are they visibly, like, different heights and things, or are they all uniform?
They're visibly different heights and things.
Okay, so there are probably, like, people in there.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Good to know. These are not Paladin.
That's exactly where I was going, yeah.
Okay, King and a Joker. So, you notice beneath their lab coat, like, you can kind of, like, you know, where it's, like, open in the chest, in, like, the midsection, you can kind of see at their hip several syringes. Most of them are empty, and one is filled with a liquid, but you can't tell what the liquid is.
Spar leaves Vellum alone for 5 goddamn minutes.
Uh-huh.
Betty says, you know, so speaking of Gray, she had mentioned that you have
some blood. You have some blood, she mentioned.
And like an insulin deficiency, and they wanted to check up on you. They needed a sample of your blood.
Is this a fact that Vellum has insulin deficiency? Okay.
Don't fucking do it. Don't do it.
Remind Ela, it's been a hot minute. Does Vellum know that Gray wants Vellum's blood?
We suspect it, but has not been confirmed. you actually set Tatiana to confirm it.
Right. After the last time we talked with Tatiana, she revealed that she was hired by Gray.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's Tati, so we're, like, not sure a hondo P that she's a reliable narrator, but this seems like a slam dunk confirmation. IMO.
And the member of the guard, like, starts, like, opening the cell to let her in. What is Vellum doing?
Well, when Betty approaches, he's going to attempt to disarm her of the syringe.
Okay, that never happens because as the guard is leaned over, Betty withdraws the one syringe that is filled with something and jams it into the slot of the guard's, like, where the neck is slightly exposed between, like, their helmet and their shoulder. And injects it. And the guard slumps to the ground. And Betty sort of unzips to reveal Tatiana.
Oh, I should have fucking known. I should have fucking known. Anyone with a syringe has got to be Tati. Of course.
Vella looks at Tati and goes, "We have to stop meeting like this."
And Tati, like, kind of kicks the body, their body. They're not dead. They kicks them aside and says,
Does she tell Vellum that they're not dead?
You could roll medicine, but hold on, or flip medicine. But sure, no, you can see them breathing slightly. I already said it. Tati kicks the guard aside and is like, "You should be happy to see me. This is a jailbreak, bitches."
I do appreciate it. Is Spar next on the jailbreak list?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
Let's go.
Anya, I apologize for the inconvenience that this will probably put you in. Clearly, this is the work of a... And Vellum looks to Tati and doesn't say anything. So hopefully you can say you had no part in this escape, and if you stay here, hopefully they won't take away your license.
Tati says, or she can pretend that I kidnapped her and she can come with us.
Also viable option. I leave the choice in your very capable hands, Miss Whittlesby.
All right, I'm going to flip a card. If it's red, Anya's going to go with. If it's black, Anya's going to stay.
Okay.
Anya's going with.
All right.
She's like, "I don't trust this fucking despot not to do anything unscrupulous to me, so might as well leave."
All right. Let's get out of here then.
Leave in a way that I have plausible deniability regarding. A scary woman with a bunch of syringes held me hostage.
Not the first time that she's held people hostage with syringes, I'll have you know.
And it won't be the last.
Vellum's gonna look to Tati and be like, "The rest of those aren't for me, right?"
No.
Roll an insight check.
Yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
Weird empathy, that lady.
Gonna try to insight that. What should I flip, Jordan?
Wit and empathy.
All right. Wit is 3. Empathy is 1. 1 for healthy. Oh, goodness. I feel like maybe these are wasted here, but we got a king, a jack, and a queen of hearts. So
wow.
That is... 5 successes?
Okay.
Yes, 3, 4, 5 successes.
Tati seems totally genuine that she doesn't plan to steal your blood. But I feel like I never resolved that Joker from earlier. Vellum got investigation, a Joker non-investigation. to look at the vials. Okay, you do notice at this time that one of the vials is filled with the same liquid as what she used to knock out the guard, and it does say for vellum.
good. Mm-hmm. Do you have one of those for a guard for whoever is guarding Agent Felspar?
Oh, I guess this could work. This could work for that. No, this was for you in case you got rowdy.
I see. Uh-huh. I am especially known for being rowdy.
I mean, if you thought I was really trying to take your blood, you might have, like, tried to... I don't know how things were going to play out. So this was, like, a just-in-case vellum stab.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If it makes me feel any better, I'll also use it on Spar if he tries to get rowdy.
That does make me feel slightly better.
Won't be the first time. Won't be the last.
She says that. Wouldn't be the first time. Probably won't be the last.
Quite. Let's find Spar, shall we?
Anya says, I can't be hearing any of this legally. Tatiana, give me some money so that we have attorney client privilege quick. we named our money forever ago. It was like
oh, cells, loons, and souls.
Souls, yeah.
Which one's the smallest?
Cells, I think. Yeah. Celestial, yeah.
Yeah. So she gives a cell
Vellum
to...
Vellum will pass Tati a cell to pass to Anya.
Yes, because you have to.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Magically, you have to. You are magically compelled.
Yep.
This we've never done that before. You actually have to say, this one's on me.
This one's on me.
Beautiful. Tati is confused but grateful and hands it to Anya.
he also just didn't believe that she had any money on her.
That's valid.
So
she probably didn't. Okay. So yeah, you got some of the other cellmates are like, hey, what about me? And Tati's like,
maybe next time, folks.
Sorry, we gotta go, but she's probably a great lawyer, so call her, she'll help you. And then everyone's out.
Should we take the Bramble Guard's uniform and put vellum in it?
Beautiful.
Eli, I realized after you and I went for the Paladin reference, I realized, no, these are stormtroopers. So you should definitely take the armor off one, but make sure they're the right height.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
I was thinking, it's unfortunate Vellum's a taller one, so you can't say you're a little short for a Bramble Guard.
For a stormtrooper, yeah.
anyway. Yeah, Vellum, you can get suited up in Bramble Guard uniform. It more or less fits. You're not as broad, I think, as a Bramble Guard are required to be, but...
Does Tati return to Betty looks?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Unfortunately, you have Anya and a pig with you, so that's, you know, not much.
We're escorting the prisoner.
Yes, for sure.
Well, for her own safety.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to go to the intro. Welcome to the intro. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I know I am. I got to play Tati. That's all I ask for an episode.
I'm never again gonna trust. I took notes. I was like, Betty, Vellum would recognize. And then the line under that is just JK, it's Tati.
My name is Jordan Quiverns. My pronouns are they, them. I'm the GM of this podcast / host / wingman. And regrettably, I am on Twitter again, so you can find me on Twitter at Jordan Quiverns, link in the description below. And I'm just gonna say it here, even though I say it in the credits, we have a Patreon, and you should subscribe to it, because I'm writing a whole ass novella for it, and it's a lot of work, and you should pay me for it, and you should pay us for the work we do on the podcast altogether.
And also, you can legit get everything for whatever amount of money you want to give us from a dollar on up. If That's you can so give true. Us a dollar or five or 150, we love all of those amounts. Those are all perfect. Mm-hmm. Podcasting does take time and actually some money to like host shit and like pay for editing software that makes me not cry into my coffee every night. So we super appreciate it if you can. If you can't, we still super appreciate you listening and we love you unless you don't want that from us, in which case have a brisk high five.
And keep those salty tears out of SA's coffee.
Yeah, it doesn't taste good.
My agent fact, remember my character fact, because it's not an agent, is for Tatiana today. It's short and simple, not surprising to anyone. This is their 16th time in a jail and their first time not being under arrest while in a jail.
Good.
Only the first?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many times has Tati successfully broken out and how many times have they not successfully tried to break out?
Zero successes, two failures.
Okay. Although this is now a success. Breaking someone else out. Is that a separate column?
She'll figure it out. All right.
Okay.
Essay. By the way, I don't think we said our Patreon is patreon.com/threeheartscast. But now I have.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Essay.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes, I'm also on this pod. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. By the time this recording goes live, I will probably be back on Tumblr, I think. So look down in the description, if that's true, to find a link to it. Otherwise, just close your eyes and imagine a beautiful big titty goth GF just shitposting. And that's it. That's me. I will have manifested in your home. My agent fact for today is that Tatiana has, this is, I guess, a mixed Tati Spar fact, but Tatiana has picked Spar up at several bars in disguise, and every time he's, like, clocked that it's her, like, you know, at some point, eventually, and doesn't say anything because he wants to, like, let her have that. But as Jordan and I have discussed, she does transform back to her like, default self when she's asleep, so he has to sneak out before she wakes up in the morning so that her cover isn't blown.
Oh.
Hold on. I want to find a list. I'm going to find a look. Eela can talk. I'm going to find a list of people that she's turned into.
Yes. Yes.
Good. Good.
Mm-hmm. And it's I recognize this. The consent here is a little dubious, but we're going to say that Spar recognizes it before, like, the sex actually gets going. And it's like,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, I found it.
All right. Hit us.
Okay. These are some Tati disguises that she's done. A wealthy heiress cheating on her husband, an amateur swordsman looking for a strong opponent and a fuck, a suits agent chaser, Tatiana's made-up sister Maribel, a crocodile princess, and Officer Austin Townsend, Tatiana's actual probation officer.
The first half of that list is absolutely spar bait. By the second half of that list, he's just like, I like Tati. Okay, yeah. Let's do this. Yeah.
This was all post-breakup. I think is important.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they didn't date. Okay. They didn't, they were friends. They went on a couple of dates. He was like,
tell the Tati. He probably tried.
This is Eela Alexi. I play Agent Vellum. He and I both use they and he pronouns. You can find me online at Eela Alexi. For my agent fact, it is also a Tatiana related fact. So, in a flashback that we have not yet gotten to, Vellum was undercover, and I won't go into the details yet, so that can still be a surprise, but Tatiana ran into Vellum and definitely hit on him, and maybe tried to make out with Vellum.
Wow.
And Vellum doesn't remember this happening.
I don't think Tatiana does either.
I'm going to say because Tatiana was in disguise as well. Mm-hmm. So unless something happens where they are both able to recount that flashback, I don't think either one of them is going to realize that they've met before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Vellum, Tati, road trip, when?
Road trip?
Yes.
When?
Hopefully soon.
Also, Spar was in that flashback, but we'll find out more later.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast, and we're going to get back to it right now. There's music in this part. Anyway. Technically in the past, because you were brought to your cell slightly before Vellum, and we're starting with that.
But Vellum didn't see Spar?
Because of two different cell blocks.
Oh, different blocks. Okay, I got it, got it.
Yep. Yeah, you're on the opposite side of the building is Vellum. You do also... Well, no, you do see someone you recognize. So there is a cell that has Lunavella in it, which is where you're being taken. And if, like, across the row from that, or, like, across the room from that, like across the, like on the opposite wall, but then also down a little bit, is Ishbala, who says to Spar as he's being taken in, she says, your other aunt's fine, got left alone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If they had tried to touch her, I would be dead or Governor Thorne would be dead, I think.
Despite the fact that that's very grim, Spar smiles and he says, thank you, Ishbala.
She nods. You are taken into a cell with Lunavella, who is like laying on the shitty bed in there, one of the two. And as we kind of noted early in the show, like she's frailer than she's been in the past recently. But she looks extra like fucked up and haggard, like someone who hasn't slept in like 2 days right now. But she does kind of like pull herself upright when you are brought in. And similarly, a guard stands at the end of the hall, a bramble guard, after you're brought in. And she says, Miriam, I'm glad you're okay, physically.
Yeah, Lunavella, I'm fine. How are you? And he like goes over and kneels next to her. Are you okay? Lay down. It's fine. I can get you a glass of water.
First she like wraps her arm around you. Yeah, she wraps her arm around you and then she lays back and says, take a rain check on the water.
Sure.
I used the radio to cast quite a spell, and it took a lot out of me. I'm not doing my best right now.
Yeah, of course. No, I have some questions about the spell, and then you should sleep.
Okay, but wait, first, before that,
yeah,
they're dead, right?
They are. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I mean, there's part of me that wanted to believe that they could be salvaged and that Morpholomew hadn't corrupted my sibling irreparably. And she says, but there's the part that I'm trying to ensure wins. Just wants to say thank you because now my sibling can rest.
Yeah, I don't like to kill people. I don't, even in my job, I don't kill people unless it absolutely can't be avoided. And
of course,
I am sorry. I'm sorry for how things went.
This tragedy started long before you were alive, Miriam. It's okay.
He's still kneeling next to her bed and is like, has like a hand on her forearm or whatever way Luna likes and accepts comfort.
She kind of smiles and says, you're like really weakly and just says like your temperament is, or their temperament was more like your sister, but you look a lot like them. Like they used to. They were an archaeologist and they focused on magical history. And I wish you could have met them.
Well, given how weird god shit has gone, I guess that's not totally off the table.
she laughs and says, right, what did you want to ask me about that?
So what was that spell that you cast?
It was one that, well, that your mother actually taught me, and that I taught to Jasper when they later, and I've never used it myself. It actually doesn't matter, but it's how Jasper and Arabella and the others talked to Thaumatera, made the untethering happen. It allows you to bring a goddess into our realm. And I thought I failed, but it didn't seem like the spell was complete, but it seemed to have worked. Someone spoke to them.
Spar's like, yeah, I don't know how this spell decided. Look, I punch things. I hit things with my sword, which used to not be made out of ghost and mom. I don't really understand what Thaumatera wants. Or, Matt, this isn't what I do. But I guess the spell decided I was the one to talk to Kronoshava?
Her eyebrows go up. Oh.
Good news, the artifact, the Eye of Kronoshava, is now permanently disabled.
How did you, weren't you frozen?
Yes. Yep, sure was, yep. I haven't had an out-of-body experience in a while, but I guess that's what that was. I don't know. He's shrugging.
She puts a hand on her forehead and says, I have theories and comments, but now is not the time. What?
Okay, well, goddesses keep kind of showing up in my life, so, like, I would love some of those theories and comments when you're, well, no pressure.
Yeah.
It seems to be a recurring theme. And I just, I really don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that that's the case. She's considering something and she says, soon. When we're not in a jail cell, preferably. We should have a talk.
Okay.
Okay, so. Sorry, my brain was going into the future for a second. Okay. she says, what happened with Kronoshava?
We had a chat.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to know why humans were worthy of being saved, and we had this whole back and forth about if they even cared about humans, why make items, and it was a thing. And I guess I made them laugh, and that was weird.
Interesting. And I know very little of God X's, but did they let everyone go because you made them laugh?
Yeah, they did.
Can you flip charm, presence, and lying?
Yes. Okay. I think this is charm. Okay. So charm is... Do we finally want to give up that the bridge card? The bridge bonus to charm?
Do you want to?
I feel like it has been 1,000 years.
Okay.
And like this feels like a transition point where it's
sure.
Okay to...
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So charm is 2 and lying is 9, but he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that is 3. No successes.
You know what's funny? She only got a joker. So what the fuck does that mean? Hold on. Ooh, I have a good answer.
Yeah.
She says, Merim, when I was unconscious, I could hear bits and pieces of the conversation. I know what you gave up.
But she didn't get any successes, right?
No, she's got one joker.
Spar shrugs. I mean, it's not like I knew how long I would live anyway. It just hardly makes a difference.
Makes a really big difference to me.
I've always been more mortal than you, Aunt Luna. This doesn't change that.
I know, but now you're more mortal than Brunhilde, too.
Well, Sorrel. Most of the world is more mortal than Brunhilde, I think, just based on sheer force of will.
I think that you devalue yourself too much. You're a really good person with a lot to give. And don't get me wrong. I think it's noble what you did. But I have known you your entire life. And I know that deep down, you think that you were more expendable than everyone else. Am I wrong?
He shakes his head and says no. And kind of shrugs a little. But that's what being a hero is, isn't it? Is sacrifice. And I don't have the things to give that Mom and Zaza had.
What do you mean? They gave their lives, and now so have you.
Yeah, that's all I can do. I can't do world-saving magic or...
Neither could Felix.
Shoot an arrow through 3 people's throats to save my fiancé.
Yes, well... Being a competent murderer is not all there is to being a hero, Spar. And I think the fact that you are willing to make that choice proves... Not only that that's true, but that... You have so much to give. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have made that choice as much as it saddens me, because it does feel as though I just lost one Merim and now I'm going to blink and another will be gone. And to be completely selfish, sometimes it feels like the God X's are punishing me because I helped more follow you. And now I don't have Felix and I don't have Merim, the first. And unless whatever's going on with me kills me soon, I won't have you either. But I'm proud of you. And I know that in a way, Felix would have been proud of you too. But they also would have been very sad, just as I am now.
Spar sort of gently strokes Ludovella's either arm or wing, like whatever's close.
Mm-hmm.
And says, yeah, but they or you would have done the same thing in my place.
She nods.
And I, again, see previous part of this conversation. I'm not an expert, but so far the goddesses I've met, which is a weird fucking thing to say, by the way, we're going to put a pin in that. The goddesses I've met don't care about individual people. I don't think you're being punished. I think the world is just shitty and people who you love die, and that hurts and that's bad, but I don't think you're being punished, Aunt Luna. I just think people die.
She, like, takes your hand in hers. She kind of rolls over on her side and says, I know. I love you, Miriam.
I love you too, Aunt Luna.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
She takes a deep breath and, like, you hear her kind of rattle a bit. What's going on with me is not a result of my biomancy.
What is it?
Joaquin is a vampire. And your aunt knows that I've been giving my blood to him to sustain him. But what she doesn't know, and what only you know, and Joaquin and myself, is that it's required more and more of me as he gets older. And I can't tell anyone, because even in Clovenheart, the fear of a vampire would be too strong. And I don't know what to do. But if I give all of myself, then there will be no one to protect him.
He squeezes her arm a little bit and says, you're sure one to lecture me on sacrifice, huh?
The hypocrisy is exactly why I'm telling you.
I think between us we can figure something out. I think have you talked to Josepha at all?
No.
She would do anything for any member of our family. And she has some, I mean, I know it's not the same, but she has experience with vampirism and she's a healer. I think we can trust her.
She nods, says, well, perhaps you're right. But
we'll start there, and failing that, I don't know if there's a goddess of blood. Fuck it. I'll talk to them too.
She does laugh at that. And she squeezes your hand. And then you hear from down the hall, Spar!
Spar closes his eyes and drops his forehead down onto the bed. Quick question, Aunt Luna.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, especially post-war, your experience with law is a little iffy. How do you feel about breaking out of jail?
Really, really good.
Okay, great. So Spar leans back, kind of waves, and is like, in here!
Hold on. Let me see. One, two. Okay. You see Vellum, and you see... Well, no, you see a member of the Bramble Guard hanging out with a person you don't recognize using Tatiana's voice, and you see Anya, mm-hmm. and you see Carnation, and Tatiana slash Betty has another member of the Bramble Guard stabbed with this needle, and they hit the ground just so loudly because she was trying to set them down gently, and mm-hmm. she stubbed her toe on their boot, mm-hmm. and you hear it go, fuck, and she drops him, and then there's a loud clang that goes, echoes through the constabulary.
Can Vellum attempt to catch the guard?
Ooh, sure. She jokered, okay. By the way, I'm trying to knock out the guard.
Oh, Vellum, good.
Can you agility athletics?
Yes. Okay, agility is 1. Athletics is 9. But I'm healthy. And with body and mind, I get +2.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Use that ultimate.
All right. So that is 1 success. And then I do have my coffee flip still.
Get in there. Flip that coffee.
That is a 3 of hearts.
Woo! That's the name of the podcast. Okay.
So that is so that's 4 successes.
Oh, yeah. How do you do it?
Because I imagine he was either walking next to or in front of Betty slash Tati, mm-hmm. perhaps, mm-hmm. Leading, to make it look all official. And so he intuits that she's going to attempt to get rid of another guard in order to get mm-hmm. to get to Spar. And
can I suggest? And so Vellum already gets in the catching the guard position. Vellum just automatically goes to a knee, yes. knows that they're gonna have to gently lower someone to the
amazing,
ground.
Amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So it doesn't make a sound. And Tati runs and quietly and unlocks Spar's cell and says, by the way, are you cool with breaking out of here?
Yeah, we're cool.
Vellum will drag the guard into the cell.
She points at the Vellum and goes, that's Vellum, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Thanks. That was going to be my next question. Aunt Luna, do you need one of us to carry you?
A crutch might be helpful. A human crutch. A living crutch.
I heard a crush, and I was like, that sounds like something Tati might say.
Then Luna Vella transforms. There's multiple Tatis all along. She had a twin. No, okay.
Yeah, Spar pulls her to her feet and puts her arm around him. He puts one arm around her waist and puts her arm around his shoulders, and he takes most of her weight.
Okay. And Tati runs to unlock Ishbala.
Agent Felspar, perhaps a disguise would be helpful for you specifically.
What did you have in mind?
He gestures to the downed guard.
Spar looks at the guard. I don't know. I'm a little short to be a bramble guard.
There we go. We got there.
I don't have any other ideas, honestly.
Tati's like, we could always just go. I mean, look, if they see Luna and Anya anyway, I don't think it's gonna work super well.
Yeah, we have to go.
Oh, also Brynhilda has a truck waiting outside.
Spar's aunts are awesome.
Well, if that's the case, Vellum will start to get rid of his disguise too, I guess.
Okay.
He just wanted to couples match Agent Felspar, that's all.
Are there other prisoners in this cell block?
Absolutely.
Spar will have Tati unlock all their doors.
Jail break.
Amazing.
ACAB.
She does it. She does
fight
it.
Fight the carceral state.
Chaos.
Okay, in that case, Anya does just pass out business cards. Fuck it.
As soon as Vellum has his helmet removed, he comes over to Spar and Luna and offers his other shoulder to help, mm-hmm. and says, hey, babe, we're here to get you out of here.
Anya chokes at babe.
Spar's, tra- checking to make sure he is the babe in question.
Yes, yes. He said this, sorry. He said this before he went to offer his shoulder.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, this was not essay confusion. This was Spar being like, Spar short-circuiting at the boldness of Vellum.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Tati goes, oh, by the way, one more thing. You know that big, scary cell?
Yeah.
They put the green lady I impersonated on the boat in there.
Oh, shit. Why?
I don't know.
Fuck. Okay, we need her.
Oh, shit.
Who? Oh, Josepha? Mm-hmm.
It's Josepha. We extra need Josepha.
Well, we've got this much chaos going on. What's a little more?
We got hella Brambleguard keys.
That's so true. That's true. Okay. Can someone who's not Tatiana flip, well, it could be Tatiana, flip, I don't know, like wit. What's a good jailbreak skill?
Survival?
I kind of like that.
Gadgetry?
Flip either wit survival or wit gadgetry to locate the right key to get into this big old thing very quickly.
What's your wit gadgetry?
Vellum's wit is 3, gadgetry is 4. And then I would also get healthy and eclectic, and depending on how the rules work, possibly body and mind again.
Yeah, if you do wit, yeah, be body and mind. You get +2.
So yeah, you should do
okay,
it.
Okay, so my question was, for rules, it says when you do a brawn agility action, if the next action equals intelligence or wit, you get +2, and then vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I've done that, and then my last action was an agility action. Does that carry forward to the next action I do, or would it need to reset
I think
in between?
So.
Okay.
I think you keep alternating, you keep getting the +2.
That's how I read it. Story-wise, I think I would send Ishbala, because she's a field agent who I trust to scrap and or carry. And Spar's occupied with Aunt Luna, so...
Okay.
I don't know if that's Ishbala and Vellum together, or if you just want to have Vellum flip on behalf of Ishbala, but that's who, story-wise, I would send.
Okay, maybe Vellum picks out the key and Ishbala goes to use it. All right, give me those flips, Zila.
Wit is 3. Gadgetry is 4. 1 for eclectic, 2 for body and mind. That's 10 cards. Did I do that math right?
Sure.
I think so. All right, we have 2 jacks and an ace.
Nice, nice, nice.
You open the vault, this big old vault. You give the key to Ishbala, who opens the big old vault. And she goes in and comes out carrying a Josepha over her shoulder, who has her arms and legs, like, bound by manacles. And also, I mean, I'm just gonna say, she has, she's got something over her mouth, too. She can't speak.
I'm gonna say we're all hustling to the exit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
But as we go, Spar will ask Tati, what do you know about what happened here?
Honestly, nothing. I just saw it happening as I was, coming to impersonate this science lady.
Is Betty here?
No. Betty is safely locked in a room in the Harrington estate. She has plenty of food, bathroom access, just no window or door access.
Good and great. Okay.
Look, you sent me to do a thing and I did the thing. Also, I'm sorry, but your uncle is trying to steal your blood.
You did great. Yes. How is Josepha, you said she's bound and her mouth is covered up?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Can we undo that to see if she has any pertinent information to share with us?
Is she, like, conscious?
Yeah, she's conscious. She's, yeah. Can you guys both flip me agility or wit and sneaking to see how well we're doing getting through this place?
Sure.
I'm just going to do a group flip for NPCs also.
Wit is 4, okay. Sneaking is now 2, and depending on how well I do, I might be able to give bonuses.
Thanks to a three of hearts and a queen of hearts, the NPCs got 8 successes.
They're back in fucking Cloven Heart. Yeah, they're... Do you still want us to flip as PCs?
Yep.
My wit is 3. Sneaking is 2. 1 for eclectic. I got 1 success.
I also got 1 success. I'm going to use some drive. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 6 drive to use.
Wonderful.
2, 3, 4.
That's a good idea.
5. Okay, I used 5 drive. I still just got 1 success. No jokers.
Okay, I used
okay.
3 drive. I got 2 more successes, so that is 3 successes for Vellum.
Okay. Okay, so I would say with all of that, you guys are able to collectively escape. And I'll say, like, while we're hustling out, maybe at one point we're waiting for some guards to get out of a room before we progress to the exit. And that's when Ishbala unlocks the stuff on Bionic, like, holding Josepha as well. Mm-hmm. She says, Belladonna Thorn is a fucking psycho. And she thinks that I'm a threat. And she seems to think that all of Clovenheart is a threat. And this is just bad, and we should leave.
We are.
She seems to think all of Suits is a threat as well, so...
She just thinks everything is a threat. She probably thinks that, like, I don't know. What's something very non-threatening?
Honestly, after the week I've had, I cannot think of anything.
Same. Let's go. Oh, but the good news is Sekitan is good.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Good. And they're recovering.
Just like to add some silver lining to this horrible, horrible day we're all having. As you're leaving, Josepha also adds, like, I've long suspected this, but that woman thinks that anyone who was ever turned by Morpholomew is still secretly out trying to overthrow the status quo on his behalf. And they see Veracity as proof of this.
Well, we can deal with a political coup once we deal with our kidnapped leader of our agency that no longer exists, I guess. It's on the list. I'll put it on the list.
The list just like breaks under the like the ink that's on the page just like tears through. As you guys step out into the night air of Cindershore, Tatiana tells you that like around 2 corners is going to be a truck with Brunhilde in it. Vellum noticed something that is probably very wild for you to see.
Oh.
Because flying towards you from the sky is... Is it
a kitty with bat wings?
Not a kitty with bat wings. What kind of wings does Destiny have?
I believe I had said Destiny has feather wings, birdie mm-hmm. wings.
So you see your winged kitten perching Destiny. On your shoulder. And then she opens her mouth and Merafina's voice comes out. She says, all of you need to get to the boathouse immediately.
Is this a two-way communication? Do we remember?
It's gone. You can tell it's cut off. And no, it's not, actually.
Okay. Where had we left Destiny?
In Brunhilde's care. And she's here. But if you would have asked Brunhilde, Sorrel and Joaquin were watching Destiny.
Okay.
Yeah. The Felspar family was.
Vellum gives Destiny some good pets and scritches.
Yeah, she rubs her head against your hand to amplify the scritch power. And then... from behind the constabulary, you hear the revving of motorcycle engines.
I believe that is our cue to leave.
And that is where we'll pick up next time on Three of Hearts. But I forgot I'm going to do a thing. I want to know what is predominantly, besides escape, on everyone's minds right now, starting with Spar.
I think a thing that he is thinking but hasn't said to anyone and probably won't say to anyone is part of why he was so willing to give up his mortality was because Lunavella was losing hers. Aww. And so he was like, fuck it, we're all mortal here. That's what we're doing now. That's what we're fucking doing now. So that's, I think he's not actively thinking about that, but that's a thing that was going on that, like, I didn't have a way to communicate.
Okay.
In play.
And what's Vellum thinking at this time as we're preparing to get going?
I think Vellum is still thinking about the last 24 hours. He had been planning to talk to Felspar about his feelings, and then they got arrested, so that kind of made things more difficult. And they haven't had a chance to be alone since they got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So, or even since before the fight with Veracity.
Yeah.
So he's got that on his mind, as well as his thoughts about Uncle Gray and whether or not they can be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And the excitement of breaking out of jail. he's got some adrenaline pumping.
Mm-hmm. Me too. This was
he's kind of excited and having a fun time.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mid-tro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.